Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Press Play Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that goes the old saying, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, is secretly a dick joke. I'm your host, Mac Dasher.
Well, now that I think about it, yeah, I'm Ian.
Yeah, Seth.
And today we're going to be covering the season finale of the Marvel Disney
Earth. It's finally over.
The Disney Plus television show Moon Knight. And my pick of the week, the 1989 Wes Craven film,
88.
The Serpent, 88, sorry, yeah, thank you. The Serpent and the Rainbow, starring Bill Pullman. But first, the season finale of Moon Knight. Ian, you pretty much just summed it up. Thank God this is over.
I'm so happy. I don't have to watch this ever again.
Because they did exactly what I said they were going to do in the final episode. And
dude, I'm going to say right now. Dude, that what you meant. Okay, because there's an end credit scene in this TV show that did exactly what you were dreading the entire time.
Yep.
And we'll get to when we're done.
I didn't watch the end credit episode. As soon as the credits turned, I turned it the fuck off.
Oh, there's an end credit. Dude, it's a Marvel TV show. Of course there's an end credit scene, but we'll tell you what happened later. Like, literally, once we're done with the main part of the review. They wrapped up a whole bunch of shit way too quickly, and God damn it, did it show.
Yes, it did.
The only even remotely cool or interesting thing that happened in this episode was the fight between Giant Khonshu and Giant Amit.
Really? Because that was dumb. The coolest part was the fight between Mr. Knight and Moon Knight. Fighting all these, like, they're switching Moon Knights while they're fighting other people. Like, that
that was cool.
That was cool. But
if only there was a medium we could show a lot of that.
Yeah.
Mass audience. Wait, there is, and they didn't fucking do it.
So what this episode essentially did is Steven's death in episode 5 was when they're pretty much a moot point because they bring him back like literally 5 minutes into the fucking episode. All that drama and all that feels that you felt with his character being gone was pointless.
They don't even explain how he was brought back to life because it wasn't Khonshu. What happened is the giant fat hippo just goes, "Osiris, you big softy." I'm like, who? Where?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That just happened.
This episode was like the other four of the other six episodes that we got. It was just preposterous bullshit. It served zero purpose whatsoever, and it made me want to vomit my underpants. I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
Yeah, I did not like it at all.
I hated it too. I was bored out of my mind. I had to go back and watch part of it again because I knew I fell asleep.
Yeah. So, jump to the end credit scene. What you missed is, Ethan Hawke's in the mental hospital now. He's the patient. And a character comes in and wheels him out to a limousine, which a dapper, imagine Khonshu in Mr. Knight's attire. Is sitting in the back seat looking all fly.
Now,
and he's,
before you go on.
Yeah.
After Khonshu defeats Amit, Mark Spector and Jake Stephen, they're just like, we're done. So Khonshu says, okay, and fucks off. So no more Khonshu.
No more Khonshu. And so
except
a unseen character wheels Ethan Hawke into the limousine. Khonshu's there and he's like, I want you to meet my friend. And you pan in and the driver turns around and it's Mark Spector, but it's Jake Locksley, who is
Khonshu basically
who's apparently Khonshu's assassin now.
Yeah. He turns around and shoots Ethan Hawke. The way they explain that is Khonshu goes, Mark was more disturbed than even he knew.
Yeah.
So Mark doesn't even know about Jake Locksley.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and I mean, we all knew Jake Lockley was going to be the third alter.
It was obvious. They didn't.
It was obvious. But the what? I really don't even want to talk. Can we just jump to the main topic? Because I'm so done with
this. Oh, wow. Is that quick?
I'm so done with this. I'm so done with talking about this bullshit.
Oh, but what about, you know, the barely an inconvenient way that I don't even know his love interest fucking name. I've seen six episodes and I don't care. But now right. She's a goddamn superhero, too.
So she has the Wonder Woman outfit on for some reason.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like, she looks like Wonder Woman and Hawkman.
That is exactly that. She looked like Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 84. And I was like, I hated that shit too. What makes you think I'm going to enjoy this? Because I'm not. Because I'm really not. Because I'm really not enjoying this at all.
This is so bad.
It's like nails on a chalkboard for however many hours this entire series was, save one fucking episode.
It still baffles me how much people love this TV show. I do not get it. Are we watching the same thing, or am I just that big much of a snob? Because,
dude, I'm thinking the same thing because I posted on Facebook. I just said it. I was like, Moon Knight sucks, and this was like two episodes ago, and everybody's like, oh, I really love it. Am I missing something, or am I just that much of an asshole?
Yeah, no. Because again, I came into this show hoping and wanting it to be a great Marvel television show. And the potential was there. The execution is what made it dog shit. And if you like this show, you know, our motto here is like what you like. I don't understand why you would like this, but if you do, hey, you know what? More power to you. But being a Moon Knight fan, this did the character zero justice whatsoever.
Here's the thing. Seth and I are not. We know dick about Moon Knight, and we still hate it. So what are we all three missing? You, who knows everything about the character, me, who knows nothing, Seth, who knows less than nothing.
What we're trying to say is, if any of you
it's objectively
enjoy this episode, want to explain why you enjoyed this episode to us like we're 5 years old, feel free.
I feel like this is just objectively bad television.
Yeah. I will not dispute that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It was not a good show.
No, and I said I was going to wait until after this episode to make my final ruling. This is worse than WandaVision. I will say that now because
way worse. At least WandaVision had an idea.
Yeah, it had an identity that I didn't quite agree with, but and a twist that made no fucking sense, but. I at least could maybe see myself going back and watching it one day. Today is not that day. But no. Moon Knight, I think I'm done, dude. I'll never see this again. No, and I'll hate that they disrespected my boy Oscar Isaac so hard with this show.
Mm-hmm. Now, would I be interested to see Moon Knight show up in future Marvel content as like a cameo appearance? Sure. He's a good character. I mean, if he shows up in the Defenders universe at some point in time, I'm fucking here for it because that's his wheelhouse. That's where he plays at.
Or even another Spider-Man film. Because
yes, I was going to say a Spider-Man.
Don't they both work in New York?
Yeah. But no, he fucks off with Steven back to London. So apparently that's where he's going to be based, which makes zero sense whatsoever. But you know, hey man, whatever.
I mean, if that's the way that you want to start introducing other overseas characters like Captain Britain or some shit like that, or Black Knight or some shit like that, go right ahead.
And the thing is, they missed some golden opportunities here.
I'm going to just hang right there for a minute.
So if going back to the program that we just, you know, talked about a few minutes ago, Doctor Strange, and how you're obviously tying all your shows into your movies and vice versa, something like that. This show took place in Egypt. Fucking Kang the Conqueror was a Egyptian pharaoh at some point in time. Okay, he could have made an appearance, at least see his face, whatever, you know, cool, whatever. Eventually we're going to get mutants. Who was an Egyptian mutant
and who was also played by Oscar Isaac?
We could have at least got a date. We could at least got a name drop at some point in time. Maybe. Lots of opportunities were missed here. I just don't understand the direction they took with his character. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. And I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
100%.
And then what's the next one that we got? Miss Marvel or something like that?
Yeah.
Miss Marvel. Dude, I don't even want to cover this shit anymore. I'm sorry. I'm done. I don't want to do this on a week to week basis just because I have to.
As far as that one's concerned, I say that we all collectively watch it, and if we agree to this, something that feels we should cover, we don't obviously don't cover it on an episode by episode basis. But if we feel it's worthy of coverage, we cover it at that point. If we feel it's not, then fuck off.
Okay, then that brings me to my next question: is what is the plan with Obi-Wan? Because I don't want to do that either.
Well, I'm going to let y'all make that call. I made the call on Moon Knight. I'm going to let y'all make that decision.
I told you the other day that if it's something that should be trashed, I think we should trash it.
So treat it like Kamal Khan. Watch the entire series. If you think it's worth mentioning, talk about it in one. If not, don't even fucking mention it. All right, cool.
Cool.
So what is said, so it shall come to pass. Do we have to talk about this anymore, or else are we done?
No, we're done. We're done. This is the way.
Okay, cool. So on to the main topic tonight. Again, the 1988 film by Wes Craven, The Serpent and the Rainbow, which none of us have ever seen, which is surprising considering it's a Wes Craven film. I figured for sure either me or Ian would have seen it at some point in time. That is apparently loosely, if not inspired by, but based on a true story of a man.
And a novel based on the same title.
Right. A novel by Wade Davis, who actually went to Haiti looking for a gentleman by the name of Clavius Narcisse, who the title character was based off of, who apparently died, was pronounced dead by American physicians at a hospital in Haiti, was buried in 1962. And in 1980, just one day showed up at his sister's house, being like, yeah, I was dug out of my grave and forced to work as a slave on a sugarcane plantation for these last 18 years. Right off the bat, gentlemen, I honestly don't know what to make of this film. I don't know if I enjoy it. I don't know if I hated it. It was a very interesting concept because it's the first film that I can recall that actually truly dives into the voodoo religion and practices. And something that should be mentioned is there were scenes in this film that were actually voodoo ceremonies taking place that were being filmed and put into this movie. For whatever that's worth, it's just, I felt it's something that should be noted. Seth, I want to hear from you first.
This movie doesn't take place on this planet. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Haiti's not a real place.
this movie. Oh my God. I don't know what to think of the first hour 15. Mm-hmm. Last 15 minutes of this movie is a shit show of insanity. And
yeah,
I was laughing my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
throwing each other around like fucking the Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
magic and oh my God.
I will say this. There were some very cool concepts in this film.
Sure.
It had some eerie moments. There were some.
Like Seth said, like the last 15, I'd say the last 30 minutes before that, it had some great practical effects. And then the special effects after that were just were so bad.
Yeah.
But the practical effects I very much enjoyed. I'm watching a Wes Craven film, and for the first two thirds of the film, I felt like it, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I would say for me, this is one of those films I could see why it got lost in the shuffle, because right. There are a few of his films that do, because mm-hmm. this is the person that brought us, you know, Freddy Krueger, Scream, The Hills Have Eyes, and Last House on the Left. But then there's those films like Shocker and Deadly Blessing.
Yeah.
They get lost, but that doesn't necessarily make them bad.
Exactly.
But they get lost because they're not great, if right. that makes sense. Like, these are somewhere in the middle films.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I didn't hate the movie. I just didn't love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked Bill Pullman just fine. I thought he was a great protagonist. Some of the concepts I was okay with, especially the him having. I liked the zombie thing, even, and they even say the word zombie, which most zombie films don't even do that.
Right.
And the fish out of water aspects and the practical effects and the villain especially.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he was
great. Those are my pros.
Yeah. The torture scene where they slam the spike through his scrotum, that was like, oh my God. I was not expecting that at all. That hurt.
I thought the ball torture scene in Casino Royale made me uncomfortable. This one took it to Jedi level.
Right, yeah. I agree with everything you just said. I don't think it's a bad movie, but it's not a good movie. It's somewhere in between.
Right.
Will I watch it again? Maybe it won't be anytime soon.
Maybe it's like Seth says. It was a thing that I saw.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the concept more than I appreciated the film.
The concept, yes. The execution, no.
Right. Agreed. And I think the concept, I think, has me liking it a lot more than I probably should, because again, the execution at times was good, like with you said, with the practical effects.
Yes.
But the special effects were just, I mean,
I know how you get uncomfortable because you're an asthmatic, and when people are holding their breath for too long, you get panic attacks. When
this movie did bother me.
When they showed the coffin scene and blood was filling up through the coffin, like I hate uncomfortable cramped. Like I'm almost claustrophobic myself. So when that scene was happening, I got uncomfortable. But
yeah,
I think this movie did have one of my favorite lines, and I might butcher it, but something like you know, this person believes you can walk on water because shit floats. And I was like, damn, that is the best. That's one of the sickest burns I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there wasn't, outside of Bill Pullman,
and the villain.
One other, yeah, and the villain and the, I guess you could call him the good guy voodoo practitioner. Mm-hmm. Those are the only three people in this movie that I've ever seen in anything else before.
Oh, you mean the cop from Terminator?
Exactly, yes, the cop from Terminator, yeah. But the villain, he was just... I dare say he was my favorite part of the movie. He was just a
dude. Menace. Everybody else in this movie was playing checkers. He was playing chess. Like he
100%.
He didn't care that this movie may never see the light of day. He's like, I'm going hard, right? And I'm gonna do it in every fucking scene.
Yeah, and I want more work. So
yeah. It was just his facial expression. He looked menacing.
And this movie had pretty good scares, but.
I think my favorite scare was when he was in one of the many dream sequences in the movie. Because to give you a little backstory, this guy goes down to find out why this guy died and was brought back to life, and figures out it was some magical powder that these voodoo practitioners made to basically imitate or emulate death, but you're not really dead. And the whole reason for trying to get that was to bring it back to the States and use it as a form of medicine to take the place of anesthesia, because so many people die on the operating table because of anesthesia shock every year. And they were going to try and replicate this to take the place of anesthesia, which in concept is fascinating.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Right on.
Yeah. And practice, probably not a smart idea, because you don't know what the fuck you're dealing with. And you know,
well, they make the part of the recipe in making the powder is squeezing a dead woman's skull.
Yeah, and grinding human bone.
Yeah,
you know, there's and a whole lot of hallucinogenics apparently. So I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is in one of the dream sequences, where the guy who was actually turned into the zombies in the dream with some corpse bride.
Oh yeah,
she was creepy as fuck.
Very creepy. They get,
and he lifts up her veil, and she pulls down her jaw, and it's out of nowhere, just a fucking snake shoots out of his mouth and bites him in the face. All right, that made me jump. That was well done.
Yeah, I surprisingly didn't take a lot of mental notes while I was watching this movie, because like I just, it was kind of just a run of the mill horror movie for me. Like I don't have much to complain about, and not a whole lot of it shines.
It wasn't even really a horror. It had horror element, sure.
It did. And that's why I'm basically calling it that for the sake of argument.
It's more of a supernatural movie.
Which, you know, sometimes those two can coincide. Actually, quite often, to be honest.
And the main reason why I selected this film is, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the app Shudder. There's a series on Shudder called Cursed Films, where they dive into the production around certain films that are alleged to be cursed. This was one of them. Some very weird shit happened on the set during the making of this movie, because it was filmed for the first 11 days in Haiti. But then shit got so... It was the very first American film to be shot in Haiti, and consequently, it's the last American film to be shot in Haiti. Because shit got so real that after 11 days on set, they packed up shop and went to the fucking Dominican Republic to finish shooting this film. Wes Craven himself and a producer got drug out into the jungle and were forced to witness a voodoo ceremony in which pigs were slaughtered and they were forced to drink pig's blood.
Fucking shit, dude.
You know, yeah. Shit like that went down on the... I mean, so it's that's what gravitated me towards this film, was the lore surrounding the film, which ultimately turns out to be a lot more interesting than the film itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is the case, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Shudder, dude, this might be a conversation for another time, but what the fuck are they doing wrong? How is Tubi a better horror streaming service than you?
I don't know, because I mean, you're literally called Shudder. You think you'd be reigning supreme, but you're not. So anyway, yeah, all in all, I give this movie a hard C.
C minus.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I get it. It's okay.
That's really the best word to describe it is it's okay.
It reminded me of a movie that would come on when I was a kid, you know, on late Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
You know, and then you just kind of watch it because there's nothing else to do. It's raining outside or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say if the execution was even a fraction better than the idea, we might be having a different conversation right now. Because the idea is a great, it's a unique, fantastic idea of a film. But again,
you know something funny is I'm pissed off at myself. Because I actually rented this on Amazon, not even checking to see if I own the film. And I do. I have a closet full of 26,000 or 2,600 different titles, and this is one of them. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's $4 I'm not getting back.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad that I saw it. Sure. I just, yeah, like you said, there's a small, very small tweak that could be made here or there that would just make it so much better.
Yeah,
and it's amazing how small that it is. Mm-hmm. It's just it sucks that it's Wes Craven, but this movie's just not for me.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where I'm glad I saw it, because if it ever comes up in conversation, I can talk about it, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and it's nice to dive deeper into the catalogs of people that you love.
Sure.
Yeah,
and I also find voodoo a very fascinating topic of discussion anyway. And again, this is probably the first movie I've ever seen that really tackles the subject matter.
Yeah. What's funny is this movie is actually responsible for one of the best songs ever, or at least not one of the best, but you know, one of Godsmack's most popular songs, and that's Voodoo.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where this song came from, was that film.
Yep.
I was unaware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that just doing a little bit of research, because I was like,
happenstance.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No, I'm good, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen the film, you know, give it a try. You might feel differently. If you do, great. If you don't, hey, you know, whatever, man. Like what you like. That's our motto here. So,
like what you like. So, what's funny is, since it's my pick next, I was actually thinking of again changing my pick, but I'm gonna stick with it because I just have so many different ideas that I just want to get to, and I don't know which one I want to get to first. But next week we are going to review The Lord of the Rings.
The animated
one, directed by Ralph Bakshi.
Have you found out what streaming service it's on?
It's on Prime.
It's on Prime, yes.
Is it? All right, cool. All I need to know.
But I think you have to rent it, but...
That's fine.
Yeah, it's a movie that I've always heard about. I have seen The Hobbit, but I've heard this one's a completely different ballgame, mm-hmm. especially with a lot of the ways that they did a lot of their animation, which I'm very curious about, and just the voice acting alone, which I've heard is fantastic. And it's the movie that inspired Peter Jackson to make his version of The Lord of the Rings. So, however you feel about this movie, hey, you got to pay your respect.
Yep, 100%. And then, Seth, what do you have for us after that?
Oh, boy. We want to watch a fun one. Kevin Bacon in Tremors.
Oh, yes. Love it. Love it.
I have not seen Tremors.
What?
Wow. Well, I'm actually shocked and appalled almost.
Hell yes.
There are certain movies that I avoid because they have a too goofy reputation, if that makes sense.
It does. But you also like cheesy, campy horror, and you're going to love the shit out of this movie.
That's true.
I've also went ahead and decided my pick for After Sex pick. We're going to watch a movie that made people scared shitless to go take a dip in the water. We're going to cover Jaws.
Ooh, nice.
It's about time.
Yeah. I'm surprised that we haven't got to it before now. And it's time.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The Lord of the Rings. Is this our first animated film?
Animated film?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because I was thinking, I'm like, I don't think we've ever done an animated film before.
We have not.
Except unless you don't count Roger Rabbit.
That's not.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
Fair.
All right. This is straight up animation.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
All right. I'm looking forward to Jaws. I watch that movie probably about once a year. It never gets old.
That's why I picked it, because it's summertime. People are about to go swimming, except for Matt Dasher, because I'm not a fucking idiot. I keep my feet on dry land where I know I'm relatively safe.
Also, and except for Ian Massengale, because I'm 32 and I don't want to. It's like, hey, like I think it was Chris Porter. He's like, I don't like swimming. He's like, I can swim. If you're drowning, I can save you. But it's like, my buddy's like, hey, we're just going to go swimming. No, I don't want to do that.
No, I'm good. And I mean, this is widely regarded as one of the most terrifying movies ever made, and I feel it's worth talking about. So, we'll see.
Yep. All right.
It started the blockbuster, the age of the blockbuster.
It did. It really did.
Not the video rental chain. The term for movie. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Right. We get it.
Yeah. Well, some people are stupid, and you know, leave no child behind. That's the policy on this show.
Right.
It's been real.
It's been fun.
It's been real fun.
Peace.
Later.